Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Matty Glad. We're here till 3 o'clock. We're pleased to be joined on the line by the ESPN national reporter covering the Buffalo Bills. He contributes to ESPN NFL Live, SportsCenter, ESPN Radio. Thanks for joining us, Marcel Louis-Jacques. Marcel, Steve Tasker, Matty Glad, thanks for coming on with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, Steve. Matty, it's good to be on with you. I missed the show, man. I think it's been a while since I've been on.
It's good to have you back. We're going to be back on TV on Monday, so it's big news for us. We're going to finish out this week and then go back on television on Monday. So we're glad you're a part of our last radio-only broadcast.
Well, I'm honored, but you better get that quarantine cut, man. I can imagine you look a little raggedy right now, man. You got to make sure you're clean to get back on TV.
I do look raggedy. I haven't had a haircut in 5 months, so you can. I'll just leave it at that. So I got to ask you the first thing out of the box. Tre'Davious White, tough decision for him to opt back in. What kind of difference does he make? What were the consequences going to be if Tre' White had opted out, and how big a difference maker is a number one All-Pro cornerback?
I mean, let's be incredibly clear. The Buffalo Bills are a better football team when Tre'Davious is on the field. Like, there is no doubt, no debate about that. But I thought it was one of the most contrite and candid interviews that I have ever been a part of with Tre'Davious. And you could tell that this was something that was really weighing on his mind, his family's health, his family's safe well-being. You could tell this really seemed like a down-to-the-wire decision for him. But personally, you know, I'm glad that he and his family were able to come to a conclusion and find what works best for them, what their best option is. And I don't think anybody can fault or criticize him for that. The consequences, if he would not have played, as far as how it impacts the Bills on the field, would have been, you know, they would have been pretty severe. Josh Norman is I think that he is a good cornerback at this stage of his career. I think he is a good cornerback in this system, absolutely. But I think that part of the appeal of his resurgence and coming to Buffalo was that he would be able to work alongside Tre'Davious White, and that Tre'Davious White is going to, when you face Tyreek Hill, Tre'Davious White's probably going to line up on that side. When you face the number one receivers, the all-pro cornerback is probably going to handle the heavy work. And then Josh Norman, you know, people want to pick on him. That's they're picking their poison here. But at corner, without Tre' White, if it's just Josh Norman by Wallace, that's a pretty obvious weakness in a secondary or in a defense that doesn't really have any right now. That's not saying anything against Josh or Levi. I think they're both good number two corners right now. But let's be clear, nobody on this roster is Tre'Davious White. I think he's about as close to an irreplaceable player on the Bills roster as you can get. So it is major. This is not an easy schedule this year. Championship windows like this don't come across too often. And they are going to need him if they're going to make this run and not only an AFC East division title, the first since 1995, but I'm sure you're well aware, but also an AFC championship in the whole.
We heard from Josh Norman yesterday, Marcel, and I know you were on that call with me. That dude has so much confidence and swagger about him. I wish I had that much confidence in myself. But if he earns the starting job opposite of Trey, do we see a return of a high caliber play on that side of the ball? Or do you think him and Levi Wallace are pretty equivalent in the way that they play?
I think we do. I don't know if we see, you know, 2015 Josh Norman or not, but absolutely his level of confidence from 2015 has not gone anywhere. And you need that as a cornerback. It is such a high profile. Your mistakes are so highly publicized at that position that you have to be able to have a bulletproof level of confidence. And Josh Norman absolutely has that. But when everybody wants to talk about, you know, the historic contract he signed in Washington and that he maybe didn't live up to it, or that, you know, he was a 1 year wonder XYZ. Nobody really wants to talk about though the three position coaches he had in four seasons. Nobody wants to talk about the below average safety help he got behind him. No one wants to talk about the fact that he is a good zone corner and Washington was not playing a system that uses his talents adequately. I think a return to Sean McDermott's system, a return to a zone-heavy scheme, and a situation where he's not looked at as the focal point of the defense, I think all bode well for him. He gets back that level of play. But I think Josh Norman, he's an attacking quarterback. He's aggressive. He brings an edge that I think this defense needs. And, I've been all aboard this signing since before it was even announced. I've been all aboard Josh Norman as CB2 for Buffalo. And Levi Wallace is not a slouch either. Levi Wallace is obviously a starting caliber quarterback. The Cleveland game was probably his worst game of the year. And like I said before, this is a position where your failures are so highly publicized that people tend to forget how good you really can be. Levi Wallace was a good second cornerback last year. So, I think that they're in a good position as long as everybody is healthy. I think they've got, again, three quality starting caliber guys, and they've got some decent depth this year as compared to the setup in 2019.
Steve, you're muted. You owe us $2.
Gosh darn it. All right, Marcel, I expect them to be a top five defense. I really do. Do you think they could be a number one defense? If Josh Norman reclaims a good portion of that, if he is an upgrade over a year ago, if this secondary does take a step forward because they get this guy and reclaim his career and he's got something left in the tank, those two corners, along with what they've done up front and the guys they're returning and the history that is with this coaching staff and this core group, this defense could be special this coming year, could it not?
I think so. I think the continuity is there. You've got the same core group of guys for the past two seasons, going on their third season. And they've been a top three unit these past 2 years. And a lot of it falls onto Leslie Frazier. There aren't many big household names on this defense. You know, the average fan in Colorado probably doesn't know who Jordan Poyer is, probably might not even know who Tremaine Edmonds is. But these are both excellent players. They are excellent pieces on this team. A lot of credit goes to Leslie Frazier for putting them in position to succeed. I think it's really, I know Bills fans aren't going to want to hear it, but I think it's a travesty that he's not getting head coaching interviews. He has been a top three coordinator in this league over the past few years. But, yeah, I do think that they will find success. I like the pairing of Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison on the edge. I like A.J. Epenesa a lot. I think Tremaine Edmonds is one of the better middle linebackers in the NFL. Matt Milano, again, an underrated piece at outside backer. Ed Oliver, this could be a breakout year for him. I think it needs to be a breakout year for him because that pass rush, that interior pressure, is going to be important against some of the quarterbacks Buffalo is facing this year. So the pieces are there for another top three finish, maybe even a number one finish. But that's going to take it's going to take them bringing down the quarterback at a higher rate than they did the past two seasons, and taking the ball away, forcing turnovers, I think is going to be important. But it's a scary defense. You know, they're not a team that a lot of opponents are looking forward to playing every Sunday.
We're talking with Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN national reporter covering the Buffalo Bills. We've got a Twitter poll out. I was going to ask you your opinion on this because we're living in such different times now with the COVID. What's on your mind as the Buffalo Bills gear up for training camp for the 2020 season? Is it all about the chemistry and how it develops with the new players? Is it B, just get through it unscathed by COVID? Or C, I'm not confident that the season's even going to take off. What are your thoughts about the Bills and the priorities they have going into training camp right now?
Well, I don't want to comment because I don't want to speculate on whether or not the season's going to take off or not. I will say I very much hope it does, and because I would like to have a job. I would like to have something to do this fall, and I love football. This is the next guy. But I'm more concerned with how this chemistry builds on the offensive side of the ball. Continuity is a key word for the Bills this season. They're returning 10 starters on either side of the ball. That's a lot of the same guys in the same system. However, Stephon Diggs, his addition is probably the biggest catalyst of where this team can go in 2020. They are relying on the chemistry between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs in order for this to become a more balanced offense. They are playing some explosive teams this year. San Francisco, Kansas City, Los Angeles, just, you know, for starters, Arizona and Denver, I think, are going to be great offensive teams. Like, they're going to have to score points. They're going to have to score more points this year, just to put it bluntly. And that this offense really needs to get going. I think Josh Allen, you know, he is kind of a national scapegoat. And I know that bugs Buffalo fans a lot, but I don't think he quite deserves the reputation that he's gotten. I think this is a guy who's extremely self-aware. I think this is a guy who constantly knows what he needs to improve on and generally does a good job of improving in those areas. And I think if he takes a similar leap from year two to three as he did from year one to two, that this Bills offense is going to be something special. But it starts right here. It starts training camp. You know, it's good that they were able to get together in the off season and run that practice in Florida. But you know, they need these reps. They need to get it together quickly, because without any warm up games, without any preseason, you can't afford. You know, it's a tough schedule. They can't afford to lose games while they're still figuring each out. So that's my number one concern. That's the number one thing I'm looking at this training camp.
Yeah, so with that in mind and just this weird preseason that we've all been in, including these players, finally getting to the complex and getting to see how this works, getting to see these protocols, what's the biggest training camp storyline in your mind?
The biggest training camp storyline, I mean, I think that you can just throw a blanket statement over the entire league, and it's how each team is going to respond to this COVID-19 pandemic. I think that the consequences of losing a player are still so unknown, but I feel like could be massive swings. Like, you just don't, especially for rookies that are going to need reps. If they get on that reserve of COVID-19 list, they're going to lose out on valuable reps, and you got to wonder how that's going to affect their playing time come the regular season. But I think that's extremely important. But and then specifically, you know, we talked about the offense a little bit. I think that battle at number two cornerback is still something to watch. Josh Norman himself as a starter, obviously. I can guarantee you Levi Wallace sees himself as a starter as well. And so it's going to be interesting to see which one of those guys earns it in training camp. And I think that's really the big question mark. On the starting lineup on either side of the ball, everybody else is pretty much set. Intrigued to see who wins this kicking competition between Steven Hauschka and Tyler Bass. Obviously, Heath Farwell says the job is supposed to lose, but Brandon Bean loves his draft picks, and he's not spending one on a kicker if that kicker doesn't have a realistic shot at making the roster. So there's a few things to really keep in mind over these next few weeks.
Marcel, you've also been a part of all the Zoom access to the players as they get back into the building for training camp. Usually you have these guys every day, the quarterback, the running back, whoever you want. They'll make guys available. You can stand right there next to them and interview them. But you've had to do it Zoom-wise. It's been an everyday occurrence. You've gotten, like, you know, Josh Norman, Josh Allen, Devin Singletary, Tremaine Edmonds, the list goes on. What has been your impression of these guys and how they're handled? Dawson Knox happened today. What's your impression? Is there any overriding generalization you can make about how these players are handling this current situation? And if all those players that we've seen come through these Zoom calls on the, you know, with the media, is there anybody that struck you as being maybe far ahead of where you thought they might be?
Far ahead of where I thought they might be. I thought, like I said, I've never seen that level of candidness from Tre'Davious White. And so that took me by surprise. You know, obviously media, that's nobody's favorite. That's no player's favorite part of the day. But I think that everybody has really been engaged and active and friendly in understanding from both sides, given these really weird circumstances. I thought it was really fun talking to Josh Norman yesterday. It's one of those things where it's like, man, like, I really wish we'd be able to do this, you know, in the locker room and see and talk with him more often. He seems like the kind of guy that where you learn something new or you learn a different perspective or a different XYZ every time you speak to him. But, you know, just it's one of those things where, you know, I'm a pretty firm believer in controlling what you can control. And right now we can't control what's going on in the nation right now, not directly. We don't know a whole lot about this virus. We want to keep everybody safe, and it's very understandable. If this is the way that we have to do things, then this is the way that we're going to do them. And I think that I think everybody's been able to do their job. I think the Bills, their PR department, has done a good job of making the most of a really difficult situation, and I appreciate that. But and you know, I think that we're still myself, my peers, my colleagues. I think we're still going to be able to get, you know, we're going to be able to get content out at a decent rate, at a rate comparable to what we do under normal circumstances. It's just one of those things where, like I said, this is our situation right now. There's nothing really we can do about it. And honestly, like, if our safety, if player safety is not guaranteed, I don't even want to be in the locker room, because I don't want to be the guy that potentially brings a possibly deadly virus into the locker room. Like, I don't want to put anybody else in danger as well. So this is, like I said, it's weird, but, you know, after 2 weeks of doing it, not even 2 weeks, man, it's been months since these Zoom calls started. You're used to it at this point.
Yeah, there's a lot of unknowns, of course, with this season and with this virus. But I think when you look at the roster of this team, they returned so many players. The continuity is there. So there's not too many unknowns when you're looking at specific starters or specific positions. But what would you say is the biggest unknown for this Bills offense? I mean, is it Josh taking that next step? You said you're pretty confident that he can, which I am too. Is it a tight end after Dawson Knox? Is it the conversation of who's it going to be, Tyler Kroft or Dawson Knox taking the most snaps, or is it the offensive line building off of what they did last year?
You know, Maddie, I'm really curious what this offense's identity is going to be. In 2019 and 2018 as well, you knew Buffalo was going to run that rock. They were going to run that football. They were going to try to dominate the game on the ground, and they had the horses to do so. You know, they had LeSean McCoy, they had Devin Singletary, and of course they got Josh Allen. But it was more out of necessity than anything else. I know that they threw the ball a lot more last season. When he got, you know, for the first time, some decent weapons in John Brown and Cole Beasley and Knox. But I'm curious what this offense's identity really is. Like, what are you going to expect to see from the Bills when they take the field every Sunday, when they have a full supply of weapons at their disposal? I mean, you look at any skill position at wide receiver, this is one of the best starting threes in the NFL right now. It's really hard to find many slot receivers quicker and better than Cole Beasley. It's hard to find receivers more underrated than John Brown. And Stephon Diggs is a star. Stephon Diggs is a star, and we know that. At tight end, Dawson Knox, he's expected to take a major leap this year. If he can fix those drop issues that really plagued him as a rookie, this guy is excellent at the catch. This guy is a, you know, in that Kittle and Travis Kelce, in that caliber when it comes to running after the catch. It's just, can he get those catches down, which is obviously, it's important. Offensive line's got continuity there. It's got depth there. That right guard is a little bit of a concern right now. It's a little bit of an unknown, I guess, if we're looking for, you know, things that we don't know. But and then that running back, I think Devin Singletary is, I think he's poised. I think he could be a 1,000-yard back if he gets the opportunity. I'm not sure he gets that kind of workload in 2020. But there's a lot going on to like on this Buffalo offense. But I'm curious what that right guard situation ends up being and what this identity ends up being, what kind of identity Brian Daboll sets for this team.
We're talking with Marcel Louis-Jacques. Marcel, you spent some time in Carolina covering the Panthers. Cam Newton was there during your time there. You saw how Ron Rivera, his relationship with Cam Newton went. How do you think the relationship between Cam Newton and Bill Belichick will develop? And how does Cam Newton's presence in New England change the landscape in the AFC East? And are the Bills still the favorite because of that?
I think that for the first time in his career, Cam Newton is looked at as if he can't do something. I think, you know, he was seen as Superman. He was this MVP caliber player in Carolina. And especially over the past few years, once he's been injured, people are now starting for the first time again, starting to think this guy can't do this. And that publicly kicks him off. I mean, I believe he said on a Patriots conference call today that he wakes up angry. He wakes up right now. So these concerns that he's not going to be able to take criticism from his head coach, I think that I don't think his ego is that fragile. I think he's looked at for, you know, a number of reasons that I don't think we have time to get into today. I think he is looked at disfavorably as a quarterback, as a professional. But this guy is good. You know, to put it in short, this guy can play this game. Before he was injured in 2018, he was playing at a level more efficient than he has ever played in his professional career. If he's healthy, which he should be after basically 2 years away from the game, if he's healthy, it doesn't matter who is around him. It doesn't really matter who's around him. That their defense is good enough and those weapons are good enough and Cam will be good enough to make the Patriots an AFC East contender. I'm not sure if they are title contenders right now. I think they lost, especially with these opt-outs, they lost a lot on the defensive side of the ball. But this is still Bill Belichick we're talking, and this is still Cam Newton until proven otherwise. And I do believe the Bills are still the favorite. I think there's still a lot fewer question marks in Buffalo than there are in New England. But looking over New England, as if I'm a Bills fan, I'm not looking past New England as much as I would if Jared Stidham was their starting quarterback.
Marcel, thanks for spending some time with us. Good luck with the rest of your media access on the Zoom calls with the team. Thanks a lot. Stay healthy and well during the rest of the pandemic. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on. Y'all stay well. Stay safe, Sophie. And Steve, I'm looking forward to seeing that haircut, man.
All right. Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN national reporter, covers the Buffalo Bills. He also contributes to ESPN NFL Live's Sports Center, also a contributor on ESPN Radio. Matty Glab, Steve Tasker coming back after the break with more of your Friday mailbag and what did we learn and maybe some NFL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
True, false. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker, Maddie Glab, here till 3 o'clock. We've been asking you, our loyal listeners, what's on your mind as the Bills gear up for training camp and for the 2020 season. 62% of you said, hey, just get the Bills through COVID unscathed and just stay away from the virus. That's job one. 62% of you say that. 20% of you say nothing is on my mind because I'm not confident in a 2020 season. 15% of you say it's still about chemistry with the new players, getting those guys on the field. And 4% of you have other things to say. We've gotten a lot of feedback. We also took a bunch of Friday mailbag questions that, once again, our loyal listeners coming to our rescue and giving us some questions that they want answered. We've got a lot of good ones. People are still asking us if we think that the team is going to play its full 16-game schedule. What about some? They got a couple of football questions from Adam. He asked this: how many quarterbacks do the Bills go into the season with? What's the plan for Jake Fromm's development in his rookie season? I'll tell you this, what I think about the quarterback development and these players, particularly a guy like Jake Fromm. Maddie, they've got a lot of room on this roster, and I don't want to waste it on guys who maybe won't play. But, you know, as a quarterback and Jake Fromm, you might want to say, listen, we're going to stash this guy on our protected COVID list, keep him separate from, you know, both quarterbacks unless we're on the practice field or whatever, and let him be around the building, assimilate the offense, and then we'll get a chance to evaluate him in the next offseason or preseason of next year or whatever. But I think a guy like Jake Fromm, particularly since, you know, you took the guy in the fifth round, let's give the guy a chance to develop a little bit, sitting around watching Jake watching Josh Allen and Matt Barkley do their jobs.
I think league-wide, this could be a year where you see four quarterbacks on rosters. There's going to be more quarterbacks on rosters than usual. I mean, we had Josh Allen, Matt Barkley, and then Davis Webb. I think it would be common to have four quarterbacks on your roster this year, especially with an expanded practice squad. I don't think you want to take any chances of having multiple quarterbacks going down and having nobody to go with. So I think I would see them taking all four and even keeping Davis Webb too. And Jake, from a development standpoint, I mean, he's there to learn from Josh Allen and learn from Matt Barkley. And if Davis Webb is also there, learn from Davis Webb. I mean, this is your rookie year. This is, you want to take in as much as you can, especially not being thrown into a starter job right away. You want to learn the system. You want to learn the lay of the land. Matt Barkley is a great quarterback to learn from in that essence, and so is Josh Allen. And I know Jake Fromm will probably be able to help Josh as well. Jake is thought of as somebody who is very intelligent and someone who will be able to help every single quarterback in that room this year.
Yeah, Fromm has got the reputation of being a thinker, and along the lines of Davis Webb. You know, we've heard a lot in the offseason about Davis Webb kind of being one of those coaching type of guys, one of those guys that's a mentor of a quarterback. And I think that's one of the things that they say about Jake Fromm as well. One last thing. Let's take one more from the Friday mailbag, and this one from David. And this is a burning question for the entire offseason, and we may not get an answer for another 18 months. But from David, he says, do you think the Buffalo Bills will make Trey White the top-paid cornerback in the National Football League? It's a good question. Certainly, they're going to offer the guy a big contract raise, and it'll depend on what Tre'Davious White thinks about his worth on the open market. Certainly this year, he would be one of the top paid if they did it strictly by merit. And he was all pro along with Stephon Gilmore. There's only two guys that are all pro. That's a very short list. So I don't know if they'll make him the top paid corner, but I know this. They're gonna do everything they can to sign that guy because I think he's a center stone and a cornerstone piece and a foundational piece, however you want to say it. He's a guy that the Bills think they've got to have.
Yeah, and I think Trey White also knows that there's a big market out there for cornerbacks and that cornerbacks get paid. Trey and Brandon Bean have been on the same page about getting him a new deal. They want to retain him. Of course, Brandon Bean wants to retain his players, Trey White being one of the best on this team right now, but they both want to strike a deal when the time is right. When Trey talked to the media, it didn't seem like he was in a rush to get a deal done. He knows his self-worth. He wants to probably see how much he can get as a corner. And he explained, you know, I'm not in the stance that I need money right away. I manage my money well. I don't need a deal to live right now. But when you're looking at corners and how much they're making right now, I mean, Byron Jones had a deal, what, 2 or 3 weeks into March, 5-year, $82.5 million deal, including $57 million guaranteed. That makes him the highest paid cornerback based on guaranteed money with $57 million, that being the highest all time. So you're seeing now more frequently that these corners are getting paid quite a bit of money. And I think in those 2 years, he'll be guaranteed or he can make up to $40 million. That's quite a bit. And Trey White is going to be at the top of the list there. Some people, I think he's the best corner in the league. He didn't allow a touchdown last season, had 6 interceptions. He is worthy of getting paid that type of money.
I got a question for you that just occurred to me. Yeah, I believe you. Tre'Davious White is an important piece. He's also a piece that fits exactly, and I mean in every way. He's the right kind of person. He works hard. He plays at a high level. He's a leader in the locker room. He's got great character. He does all the things. He's everything. He's got all the DNA that this culture at One Bills Drive has been built around. How much pressure is there on the coaching staff and on the front office to sign that guy? I said, what happens if they don't? What's that say to all the guys that they've said, hey, listen, we'll pay the guys we like. We'll pay the guys that do everything right. We'll pay the, you know, what happens if they aren't able to sign him? You know, what if they, how much pressure is on the team to say, hey, you said, you know, because everybody does, you know, that's what players do. They stand on the table and they go, you said
right
that if I did A, B, and C, you'd take care of me. Well, I did A, B, C, D, E, and F. You know, Jamal Adams was the best player on their team, and he, you know, he wanted out, and he was not happy, and he started spouting off, which makes it different. But none of these, like, if Tre'Davious White is minded his business, I mean, how much pressure is there on the Bills to sign a guy like that? Because if they don't, what's their culture mean?
I think I don't even want to entertain the thought of him possibly not getting re-signed because I may call out of work for a week while I cry every single day. I think they're going to be able to make this happen because Brandon Bean manages money so well. And even with the uncertainty of the salary cap the next few seasons, regardless of that, they know they have some big deals coming up and they know they need to make good on those deals and pay those players for what they're worth. And I think relationally wise, they understand that those players are deserving of the money that the market has set for them.
Right. And I think that's true too, but but it is a question though, right? I mean, if they say, hey, we got the right kind of guys, you got to put up some point, you know, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, Tre'Davious White's first guy on the list, Deion Dawkins, Milano, all these players have done exactly. And in some cases outperformed the expectations. So I think the structure of the contract will be what allows the Bills to do it. But I think all these players, all the elite players in the league have to know, too, that if they do hit a home run, it does hamstring their ability to be winners because the club just won't be able to get enough talent around them. We'll see. That's an interesting thing. Last one from the mailbag before we go to break. How much from Josh? How much better does Tyler Bass have to be than Steven Hauschka in training camp to make this team? It feels like even if it's close, the Bills would side with a proven veteran like Steven Hauschka over a rookie who won't have any preseason games to show how he handles the pressure of a real game. That's a good question. How much better? I mean, he's right. Tyler Bass may have to be significantly better than Steven Hauschka to make the team in place of a veteran who's as proven as Hauschka is.
Yeah, I think we talked about what rookie will make the biggest impact. And while I think Brandon Bean wants to keep most of his draft picks because of the fact that he can help them grow in the system and develop them, which he always does, when you're a kicker, I think you're going to have to make a big difference and you're going to have to be a lot better than Steven Hauschka because he has proven himself and is very good in the playoffs. Yes, he missed some kicks last year, but I think he's going to have to be way better than Hauschka if he wants a starting job.
I think so, too, particularly in the fact that you're going to have to really worry about how you're going to, you know, where are you going to kick, and, you know, by yourselves in an open field? Not much pressure there. I don't know. It's a great question, thing. And thanks to everybody who sent in a mailbag, a Friday mailbag question. We really appreciate it. We're going to be back right after the break with What Did We Learn? Steve Tasker. We don't have any What Did We Learns today, so we're going to skip that. But if we did do a What Did We Learn, it would have been brought to you by Skyworks, the official equipment construction rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Steve Tasker, Matty Glab, coming back to finish up right here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Matty Glab. Just finishing up, we asked you at the beginning of our show what was on your mind as the Bills gear up to training camp for the 2020 season. 62% of you said, we just hope the Bills can get through COVID unscathed. 15% of you said, it's all about chemistry and development, getting these new players acclimated. 20% of you say nothing. I don't think the season is actually going to happen. And 4% of you have something else in mind. Matty, as we talk through this, most people are just of the mind that if they can get through this COVID unscathed, the season is actually going to happen. Some people are, 20% of them are kind of doubtful that it'll ever get to that point.
Yeah, I think there's hope. I think it's good to have the mindset of that we can get through this. But yeah, I want to see the season happen and I want to see this team be healthy through it all.
Yeah, me too. And there's no question that we've got a long way to go and there's going to be some obstacles, and it's going to look different. But nevertheless, I think it'll still happen, right? I mean, I'm positive that we're going to be back. And in fact, we're going to be back on the air on Monday on MSG television. Buffalo Bills, One Bills Live on MSG. Back at you on Monday. Steve Tasker, Matty Glab, saying goodbye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.